what's coming up on today's experience. Devotional Diamonds of the Day, also known as DDDs, where my daily devotions become some of our spiritual reflections. Sound effects placed throughout the show which have nothing to do with life, because you have to have sound in your life, because every once in a while, you just got to enjoy the moment. Can you try and just relax? Take it easy. All those things that are going on in your life, not that big a deal. Here's a good one for you. Ready? 100 years from now, how big are those problems? Not that big. So here's an idea. Enjoy the moment. There you go. The review of the goofy news, which proves Jesus is coming back sooner than you think. Because every once in a while, you just have to shut off your TV and close your computer and ignore what the worldly people are saying. Okay. Life lessons for our faith that we can actually use probably won't if we sit on our blessed assurance. Humor that will force you to think, why does this guy have a radio show? Because every once in a while, you need to listen to a show that seeks to encourage, educate, and entertain you. That is our mission. Also, Bible trivia for fake and yet somehow real cool prizes, your phone calls, and more. Welcome to the David Spoon Experience, local, national, and heavenly talk. My name is David Spoon. I will be your host for the next 5,400,000 milliseconds. Get ready for one of the more bizarre experiences on live radio. Here is the key to the show. Everything you need to know is coming up in this next statement. I want you to know everything you need to understand about the David Spoon Experience is coming up right now, and you just better get ready. You better hang on to your steering wheel. You better buckle in on your seat. You better be prepared. Here it goes. We don't know what we're doing.
Not a clue.
Not even remotely. There's this mic. There's these buttons, and we go, yeah, that could be good.
I think that's it.
That's pretty much all we got. We don't know what we're doing. We have no idea what's going to happen. We don't care. For the next few minutes, I want to talk faith with you. So here we go. We're asking questions about living life as a Christian. So here's a good one for you. Ready? What are the first three things that you do every morning? The first three things that you do. Wait. Do any of them involve God? Guilt again? No. Just a question. Here it is. That's the kind of thing we want to talk about. Like, we got to do that stuff. Hey, if you've got an opinion, a comment, a thought, or a question, please don't let it die of loneliness. That's sad. Just reach out to us. You can call us live during the show, 972-445-0770. That's 972-445-0770. When you call 972-445-0770, you'll end up talking to Dynamite D.
Hello, lucky person. You got the number right, because you are talking to Kid a Dynamite.
Listen to this one. Talking to Dynamite D is like somebody else buying you a lottery ticket as a gift, and it wins.
Oh, wow, Dave. Very interesting.
And it wins. You're like, oh, praise the Lord. Bottom line is, talking to him is awesome, and we want you to be able to do that. Also, you can text us live during the show, 214-210-8483. That's 214-210-8483. Semi-professional voice coming up this time. Get ready. 214-210-8483.
What accent was that, Dave?
That's Ukrainian.
Okay, I was wondering.
Yeah, just give my home country a little bit of love there. Nah, I don't care about all the politics. Anakin, that was a good one, you know? You get it? 214-210-8483. You're welcome. You can also send an email, david@hemustincrease.org. I have too much time on my hands. David@hemustincrease.org, D-A-V-I-D for David, at that little A thing that has a circle around it that looks really, really weird. And then hemustincrease.org. That's one way to do it. Plus, we want to send you up to the website. And oh, by the way, there's much to tell you there. On the website is information about our next speaking engagement, which is July 2nd at Murphy Road Baptist Church in Murphy, Texas, which is close to Wiley. Okay, so just go there. We have a little link to it. It'll take you there on the website. You can figure it out. We hope to see people there. I'd love to meet some people that I've never had a chance to meet, plus get a chance to see the people that I've seen before, which is my hint for those that I've seen before. I'd love to see you again. Also, I want you to be aware that a week from tomorrow, we're doing our interview with Tanya Magnus. And Tanya is the kind of the coordinator, director. I'll give her the chance to tell you all that. She's actually going to come into the studio. She is the coordinator for Choose to Soar Ministries, which enables and empowers women to do ministry if they're choosing with the wisdom and the partnership in the Lord. And we want to support them 1,000-fold. Why? Because they need help. They're trying to follow the Lord. Don't you want to help people that want to follow the Lord and honor the Lord and do things for his kingdom? Yes, we all want to do that. So very excited about that. She has had a big impact on Aunt Deb, which is like you never think about this. It's like all those little connections. That's right. The Lord knoweth everything. He knows every connection. And so that's on the website. And then the other thing that's on the website is, okay, well, you're making me do it. Dig deep down into your pocket and pull out the green that does make this machine happen. Okay. I've been doing that for years. People go, that's racist. Oh, go listen to something else. Go listen to ESPN. That's racist. All right. Check out hemustincrease.org.
Prayer request?
Hemustincrease.org.
Praise report?
Hemustincrease.org.
Looking to give to this ministry?
Hemustincrease.org.
Confused by what's happening right now?
Hemustincrease.org.
Hemustincrease.org.
I want you to know that I cut my hair today, and with my razor, okay, because I don't have that same bump, that's about how close the razor got to my head right there with, like, that little Star Wars-y, like the little thingies.
I can see that.
Yeah. Super, super close. Super shiny. That's right. I work for that. Okay, let's move on. I'm just rolling today. So we're going to move on directly into the teaching. I do want to give a shout out to the family and the ministry of Pat Robertson. He passed away today. Pat was, I don't care what, you know, people are this negative, that negative, legendary. I mean, the dude did, he'd done 50 plus years of television, 55 plus years, I think it's 60 years, if not more, of radio, Christian radio, and had the chance to minister to millions of people about Jesus Christ being Lord. It's like, okay. I got nothing to say but thanks, Pat. Enjoy heaven. I'm sure you will find it more fun than down here. But we pray for his family, but we're still blessed that he gets a chance to hug on Jesus for a while. And that's the big thing. All right, let's get into the text. This is going to be kind of weird, so you're going to have to bear with me. Is that a nice setup? 2 Corinthians chapter 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. We're going to kind of pick it up at the verse 8-ish kind of realm. So it's 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 8 says, through glory and dishonor. Watch that. Glory and dishonor. Slander and praise, viewed as impostors yet genuine, as unknown yet well known, living and yet we live on, dying and then we live on, but we live on, punished yet not killed, sorrowful yet always rejoicing, poor yet making many rich. I just want you to catch the flavor that Paul is using when he's teaching, and you're thinking, well, what is that? Because you got all of these different, you got like these, for every negative, there's a positive. That's what you got going on. It's not complex. It's not like weird or anything like that. It's a list, and the list prior goes a little bit deeper. The list prior is more negative, but this is where he picks it up and he says, look, for everything that's going on, there's the human perspective and the human element, and then there's the divine element. Now, don't you know that's the story of life? It's not the facts of life. It's the story of life. Every time you look at something. So look at how he does this, and we'll kind of break it down. So through glory and dishonor. Glory for the kingdom, dishonor from the world. Slander and praise. Slander from the world, praise for the kingdom. Right? Viewed as imposters. Oh, these guys are just, you know, they're fraudulent and so on and so forth. Yet the Lord knows they're genuine. As unknown to the world, yet well known in the kingdom of God. Right? It's just like, what? Look at that. Dying, and yet we live on. Punished, yet not killed. Sorrowful, but always rejoicing. How do you get to be sorrowful, but always rejoicing? Because the divine perspective has a completely different viewpoint of what you're going through. Poor, yet making many rich. Do you notice that there's just this opposite to everything that's going on? Well, one of these is a viewpoint that comes from the world and the worldly observation, and another one's a viewpoint that comes from the kingdom of God and the Lord's observation. So guess which one the Lord wants you and I to operate in? He wants you and I to think. Now, we're about to get to one of the greatest verses in the New Testament because I'm going to spend an extra couple of minutes on it. But look. This is genuine stuff. When you go through the Christian walk, you get to find out there's a lot of ups and downs and ups and downs. But every time you think it's a down, hey, I got a message for you. It might be more up than you think. And you might think in your brain, what do you mean? Well, remember that famine that happened during Abraham's time when he and where it was Abram and Sarai had to go to Egypt because there was a famine? Remember that whole famine thing? And so that's when Abram said, hey, tell him I'm your brother. Remember that whole thing? Okay, that's in Gen 12. That's not hard, right? Guess what? When he was there as the brother, and then they started pouring out gifts and gifts and gifts upon him. And then when they tried to take Sarai as the wife, right, Pharaoh, the Lord said, I'm going to destroy you if you do this. And they're like, uh-oh. So what they do is they took Abraham, Sarai, all the stuff he had acquired, and they gave him an army to support them, to escort them out of that area. So that famine that just looked like it's terrible and the world can't eat and there's nothing going on and it's terrible was God's opportunity to bring Abraham into 10 times the wealth he had before and then give him security to bring him back to where God wanted him to go with an army following him so that nobody would touch him. Bet you didn't think of that when the famine happened. See, you see what I'm saying? It's like, what? And so what everybody focuses on is what? Well, Abraham lied about it, okay? Remember, because he's like, this is my sister, so on and so forth, which wasn't entirely a lie, but it was a fib in its own right. I mean, let's not try and justify it. But that's not what you should focus on. I understand that's happened. I go through all of Scripture. How many people have lied? Everyone but Jesus. God be true, but every man a liar. Romans 3:4. Okay, that solves that one, right? But what you should focus on is look what God did. He took them from the famine and quadruple gazoopled their money and then brought them back with an escort. But when the famine happened, everybody's just thinking, uh-oh, it's a famine. Uh-oh, it's bad. Uh-oh, this isn't good. Except, you know, that passage that we all know in the New Testament would really apply. All things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are called according to his purpose. So in that, you look at it and you go, well, so it's not the way we think it is. Really? Excellent observation. We'll take our break and then come back. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
What is the David Spoon Experience?
Here is a DDD entitled Custom Eyeglasses Used on Others. custom eyeglasses used on others. 1 Samuel chapter 18, verse 9. So Saul watched David jealously from that day forward. Stop. There it is. So Saul watched David jealously from that day forward. How do we see people in our lives? Saul saw David through jealous glasses. He put on these glasses. They weren't the ones from the Lord, right? They were glasses that had much more flesh in them, and then everything was tainted. This is what happens to you and I, and let's just do the honest, you know, those honest moments where we put on our glasses regarding some people, because almost every time we get a communication from them, there's just something coming that you just know, this is going to be lousy. I haven't even opened it. I'm already dreading it, right? Have you ever gone through that, right? Or every time this person texts me, I'm not smiling after I read it, or something along those lines. And it could be somebody who, you know, has got a spirit of complaining. It could be somebody that's got a spirit of pride. It could be any of those things, right? And you're just like going, oy vey, right? But you're not saying it much, but you know how you're seeing it. And that's custom glasses. You've already put the glasses on. You've already determined how it's going to be. You're already seeing it through that slant. It's not that they've never done anything. It's just that you and I tend to stay in those zones and see people that way. And so no matter what was going to happen with Saul and King Saul and David, David was going to impute evil motives to Saul's actions. I've gone through this with a professor. I'm just confessing. Right? I had a professor before we started the radio show, and my buddy in the process was a pastor, was my like a schoolmate, and he would write me and go, why does she, you know, jump on you like that? I mean, he was asking me, right? And I'm like, every time this statement, I just instead of having any kind of change of heart or mercy, I was mad. But my anger did not work the righteousness of God. And sometimes people do that because of other reasons. It's not because of you. And we need to do a better job of not wearing custom glasses where we see the downside on people. So the question to ask is, what kind of glasses do we use with others? And are those glasses approved prescription glasses from God? Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. That's KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. We're getting ready for our first trivia question. Get ready. Here we go. Wait, that's me taking the paper and putting it on the table. Listen.
Got a little energy today, Dave.
Yeah, I'm a little up today. I'm excited. What Bible chapter is known as the Hall of Fame of Faith? There you go. You guys, I mean, there should be 900 responses. What Bible chapter is known as the Hall of Fame of Faith? If you think you know the answer, 972-445-0770. You can also text in 214-210-8483. As well, you can send an email, david@hemustincrease.org. What Bible chapter is known as the Hall of Fame of Faith? If you think you know, reach out to us. In the meantime, we'll do our DNA. D stands for Draw Closer to the Lord.
Daily.
And if you're not sure what that's all about, listen to yesterday's podcast. That's all I'm going to say. That will really explain it. But every day, you spend some time with the Lord. Now, don't put a legalism on it. Just spend some time with the Lord. It could be a lot of time. It could be a little time. It could be some. But just be consistently spending time with the Lord, just like you consistently spend time either with your children, your spouse, your friends, your family, whatever the case may be, or for some of you, your computer, or for some others of you, your radio, or for some others of you, your television, whatever the case may be. Spend some time on a daily basis. D. That's the D. And never be ashamed of Jesus or his words. Never be ashamed of what Jesus had to say. Never, 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 never be ashamed of what Jesus had to say. Luke chapter 9, verse 26. You know they're pouncing on people in the name of eliminating hate speech. They're pouncing on people for just quoting scripture. It's just like, yeah, who didn't see that coming? We've been talking about this for years and years. This is just, there's no way around. This is getting worse and worse and worse. Tis, in fact, the way it is. It's just be prepared. If the Lord pulls us, awesome. If he tarries, or anybody's theological position on eschatology is a little off, you still need to be firm in the faith. That's N. And A, always be ready.
To serve.
To serve, which means OPM, other people matter. Carrying their burdens and so fulfilling the law of Christ pleases God and blesses you. So share the up, the down, the life, the laughter, the tears, all of it with one another. That's the call that we've all been given. All right, somebody's ready to answer a trivia question. Let's send them on through. Knock, knock. This is David. Who am I talking to? Hello? Knock, knock. Hello?
Hello.
Hi. How you doing? Can you hear me? Hello? Hold on. We'll give him a chance. Give him a chance. Hello? Are you there?
Yes, hello.
Hello. How are you?
Well, this is Brandon. I just want to make sure I was supposed to be talking now.
Yeah, you're on, Brandon. It's all you. I'm going to give you the setup, and then you can respond to it, okay?
All right.
All right. Do me a favor. Turn your radio down a little because you're getting a little feedback. So turn your radio down just a bit, okay? All right, here we go. What Bible chapter is known as the Hall of Fame of Faith?
That would be Hebrews chapter 11.
That is correct, Mundo! You are right as rain. That is exactly it. Hebrews chapter 11, which we would just finish teaching on for the last 2.5 months. That's the Hall of Fame of Faith, the great cloud of witness. Excellent job.
Yes, sir. Well, God bless you. Appreciate your ministry.
Thank you so, so very much. And if there's anything we can pray for you about, let me know. And if you want to share anything, you're always welcome to reach out to us.
All right. Thanks, David.
All right. God bless you.
God bless you.
Bye-bye. All right. Excelente. That's excellent, excellent, excellent. Okay. I'm just at this passage we're going to get to. It's just like, okay, I can't do the word of God justice. That's kind of the problem sometimes when you teach it and when you talk about it. But this one verse, somebody did an entire chapter on this in a book. And I'm just, it's lights out. Absolutely fantastic. So I just want you to focus in on it. Go back to verse. It's actually kind of like verse 10 ish is really what it is. But we're really just going to concentrate on the very, very, very last little bit. Okay. So I just want to make sure everybody's kind of, together on this, kind of on the same page. Okay. Right where it says, right before it, it says, Yet always rejoice, yet always rejoicing, poor, yet making many rich. Here's the big one. Having nothing and yet possessing everything. Stop. You just cannot imagine. This is, if you highlight this right here. Why? This is so powerful. First of all, let's be truthful, right? Everything you have, God has granted you the ability to have, okay? Every breath you take, therefore every step you take, therefore everything you touch, everything you do, you cannot do apart from God. Who owns everything? God does. People think they own the earth. Wait till Jesus comes back. Let's see how that title deed holds up. Probably not too well. But in understanding that in truth we own nothing, we yet possess everything because we're children of the king, and the king owns everything and gives it where he wills. And so even though there's times where you're like, I have nothing, yet because you are in the Lord, you have everything, and you will never fall behind. And let me tell you where this is the best application of this for people who walk the Christian walk in the United States of America. Money. Let me just explain this to you. I'm just going to tell you right now. If you understand that technically you have nothing, you will also understand that faith-wise, you have everything. If God needs you to have that thing, you will have that thing. You just don't understand. See, people are like, no, maybe that doesn't pay the rent. You know why I find that humorous? I'll just tell you why. Because not only has God come through for you 10,000 prior times, but even if you had to relocate, it always turns out that the Lord had some plan in there some way to relocate you, to move you, to get you to go somewhere. You just like, it always comes together and comes back around. Always. And so you actually have nothing. And if you think I'm wrong, I'm just going to ask you to tell me what you have in 2 minutes if you died in 1 minute. What do you have? You brought nothing in, you take nothing out. 1 minute from now, if you died, you take nothing out. You got nothing. Yet, as a child of the king, you have so much more than nothing. In fact, you have everything, because in a minute from now, if you die, you'll be dancing on streets of gold. Well, after you get up from worshiping Jesus and thanking God the Father and acknowledging and fellowshipping with the Holy Spirit, then you're done crying. I mean, I'm just saying before. So what I'm trying to say is keep it where it really needs to be. You have nothing, and that's totally awesome, because as a child of the king, you have everything. And you'll never need anything more. Oh, I just want to go home now. I just have nothing to say.
That's such a really rich scripture.
It's funny you'd use the word rich.
No pun intended.
All right, folks, we'll take our break here. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
What is the David Spoon Experience, you say? I'll put it to you like this. Do you love a good joke that's pretty bad?
What do you call an animal that doesn't practice what it preaches? A hippocritopotamus. Come on.
Do you love being able to ask questions, comments, or having someone to pray for you?
If you have an opinion, a comment, a thought, or a question, we don't want it to die of loneliness. We want it to have a chance.
And last but not least, do you love some trivia?
All right, we got our trivia question. Who made clothes out of leaves that were sewed together? Somebody want to answer the trivia question? Oh, okay, hold on. Here we go. This is David. Who am I talking to?
We're talking to Mary.
This is Al.
This is Brother Ace.
This is Eric.
This is Deborah.
Now, if that doesn't make you curious, maybe you should tune in and check it out for yourself.
Think of me as the big brother that won't go away.
That's me.
Tune in to the David Spoon Experience weekdays at 1:30 p.m. on 770 KAAM.
The David Spoon Experience.
Again, Dr. Robert Jeffress. Doctor, are you there with us?
I'm here with you, David.
I'm so glad that you're here. I got to ask you this question. I get a little fiery, especially when Christians are being accused of things that are false, and that happens all the time, especially in the media. And I think if you remember our very first time we ever talked, I told you how impressed I was with you that you are able to keep your spirit steady.
Well, I appreciate that so much. You're a good friend.
I appreciate that. Here's the thing that drives me absolutely batty, which is where I need your help now. I understand this situation with Tim Tebow. He was going to do a dedication for you. He got a lot of pressure, apparently, from the media. The media accused you of being homophobic and anti-Semitic, which for me, I mean,
It was. I guess when I first heard it, I was overwhelmed. First of all, anti-Semitic is a person who discriminates against or is prejudiced or hostile towards Jews. You've been on my show. Now, this is three time, and I'm as Jewish as they come.
Yeah, well, David, I mean, the charge of anti-Semitic comes from saying that everyone, including Jews, must trust in Christ in order to go to heaven. That is hardly anti-Semitic. In fact, I have a Jewish friend in New York who called me this week. She's not a Christian, but she said, I don't understand all of this. Said, I don't believe in the New Testament, but you do. You're simply saying what the New Testament says. And, you know, David, we've said before, you know, Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. And I remind people, Jesus was not a Southern Baptist evangelist. He was a Jewish rabbi. And yet you look at what he said, what the Apostle Paul said, the Apostle Peter. Here are the three most prominent men of the New Testament, every one of them a devout Jew, and yet they said there's one way to God, and that's through faith in Christ. That is not anti-Semitic.
770 KAAM, Garland, Dallas, Fort Worth.